Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. One of the things that I like about going for a morning run this time of the year is that when I depart from my house, I depart in darkness, and then I return in daylight. When I start out, and today was awfully cold, the stars are shining, and then when I come back home, I can't see the stars anymore. But I know something about the stars. They're still there, whether I can see them or not. And this is the truth about the God that we serve. He's always there. He's right beside you. And it's not determined by your vision. It's not determined by your recognition or your clarity of sight. God is always there for you and for me. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we're walking with the Lord, knowing that He is there with us, beside us, every step that we take. And we trust in Him in spite of the fact that sometimes we might feel a sense of distance between us. The truth is that He is always there. And so the writer of Hebrews begins his teaching to us about God's presence by telling us some things about our perspective. And so he begins in verse 5 in chapter 13 with the words, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have." In other words, don't be focused on the material world. Let's be thinking about our God. You know, last summer, a 53-year-old by the name of Jeff Murphy was hiking in Yellowstone National Park when he disappeared. Investigators found his body on the 9th of June, where Jeff had fallen 500 feet from Turkey Pen Peak after accidentally stepping into a chute. But he wasn't just on a hike. He wasn't just walking. He was looking for something. He was looking for a treasure box of gold and jewels worth up to $2 million that were buried in the Rocky Mountains by an eccentric millionaire named Forrest Fenn. Fenn was an art dealer and a millionaire who's in his 80s, living in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he had buried this box and didn't give the details about exactly where it was. It was 10 by 10 inches, weighed about 40 pounds, and had contents worth $2 million. He said it's not in a mine, it's not in a graveyard, or near any structure. And what we learned about Jeff's passing is that he is the fourth man to die while searching for that chest. You know, the Bible is telling us here to keep your lives free from the love of money. What it says in Proverbs chapter 22 is that a good name is more desirable than riches, and to be esteemed is to be better than to have silver or gold. So what the Bible does is it puts in perspective the material world and the eternal spiritual world. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it." So we're encouraged in these moments of reading God's word in Hebrews chapter 13 to be thinking about our relationship with God and not to be overly focused on the material world. Contented people understand that material things are only ours for a period of time. It makes sense to focus on what will last forever. That's what we should focus on. My relationship with God and His people is so much more important than what kind of car I drive, isn't it? You know, there are people in Finland who build things from ice. They build structures from ice. They built an Orthodox church chapel last year, and it was booked for several weddings and a christening, and there were recitals that took place at this building, and the construction and upkeep costs were roughly $1.1 million. Yet, you know what happened to the structure? In the month of April, it melted. That should be a good reminder to you and to me that the things that we build are temporary. They do not last. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What we really need, the Apostle Paul says, are to focus on the basics. And so in 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, we read, "If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." So are we content? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves from time to time. Are we content? One of my favorite quotations is from Donald Olson. He said that the average American is busy buying things he doesn't want with money he doesn't have to impress people he doesn't like. That is the culture and the lifestyle of the United States of America. We pull out our credit cards to do things that at times simply do not make sense. We would be so much better off if we could remember that God provides our daily needs and we truly do not have to go through this life trying to impress someone. And so we come in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 to the promise that God has for us this day. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 is reminding us today that God will be with you wherever you go, whatever you do. God is beside you. God is with you. These words are actually paraphrased from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. And what God spoke through Moses to the people of Israel was that He was providing for them. He provided for those wandering in the wilderness. He provided for them food. He provided for them water. He never, ever left them. And so the same promise is there for you and for me. We can have courage remembering three things about our God. Number one, we can always talk to Him. Number two, He will always lead us wherever we go. And number three, He will protect us. He will be beside us wherever we go. I drive a Prius, and when I get into the seat and grab a hold of the steering wheel, I don't have to put a key in the ignition. It's one of those cars that you simply push a button. And then sometimes after I get out on the road for about 5 minutes, I say to myself, "Do I have my keys with me?" And then the logical part of my thinking kicks in, and God says to me, "If you didn't have your keys, the car would not be running, because it only responds if you have the keys with you. When you push that button, if the keys aren't with you, it won't come on." And so it's just a reminder to me that I cannot go anywhere without God. I cannot go anywhere without Him. What does it say in Psalm 139? "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." I often think of Joshua When he took over for Moses, God spoke to him. God came to Joshua and said these incredible words, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." What an amazing promise he made to Joshua, and he's making it to us. Why is it so important for us to reflect on this promise today? It's a good question. You know, there are enemy voices in your world, and they're telling you the opposite of what God's saying to you. Those enemy voices are speaking to us the way they spoke to Joshua, that God won't be there, that God won't rescue you, that God isn't anywhere to be found. And what the Bible is encouraging us to do today is to not listen to those voices. We're to listen to God's voice. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, God says, "Stand firm in the faith and be men of courage." Stand firm in the faith and be men of courage. It takes courage to walk through this world. We face many, many challenges. But I love the words of Augustine, who said that God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. That's how much God loves you and me. Knowing of his love makes me want to stand firm and never give up hope that he is there. What does it say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1? "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." This is all about God's love. He's with you because he loves you. He's beside you because he loves you. He's rescuing you because he loves you. I read about a lone survivor from a shipwreck. He was washed up onto a small, uninhabited island. He cried out to God to save him, but God didn't show up right away. While waiting to be rescued, what this man did was he built a hut, and he put all the possessions that he had inside of the hut. And then one day he went off to look for food. And when he came back to his hut, it was on fire. And the whole thing just burned down and he lost everything. The next day a ship arrived. It was there to rescue him. And so he said to the people on the ship, "How did you know I was here?" And they said to him, "We saw your smoke signal." Dear friends, that is a good reminder to you and to me that God is with us in spite of all the tragedies that we go through, in spite of the heartache that we go through, in spite of the pain that we go through. God is with us. And so in the sixth verse of Hebrews chapter 13, we read these words, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Mere mortals do to me. Now, the word in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, for mortal is anthropos. And that's also translated human or man. And you know, every human that you meet, every person that may bring fear into your life or challenges to you, is inferior to God. God is so much greater than anyone that you will ever face or be challenged by. And so remember that God is your helper. The original word in the sixth verse of Hebrews chapter 13 for helper is bothos. It's an amazing word. This is the only time in the entire New Testament where this word is employed. And so it's special. What this word means is bringing the right aid in time to meet an urgent need. And so when the time is right, when it's not too late, God will be there for you and for me. He will arrive to rescue you and me. We can be confident that God arrives right on time because he is always with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In Romans 8, we read these incredible words, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" It's this confidence that enables us to approach God for all of our needs every single day because we know he's for us. He's for us. When we go to God, we don't have to ask God, "Are you on my side?" because we already know he is. In the 32nd verse of Romans chapter 8, we read, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If he gave us Jesus Christ to die for our sins, he will give us what we need to live an abundant life day by day. But remember that salvation is the greatest help, and it arrived just on time. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, we hear these words, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Why is it that he hears us? He hears us because he's our shepherd and he's holding us. We read in Isaiah chapter 40 that he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. What a picture of our God, that he's holding me. He's holding me in his arms, and he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our shepherd. I'll never want. That's our shepherd. I'll have everything I need. That's our shepherd. He hears me when I cry out to him. He's always, always with me. Trust in God. He promises to never leave us, never, ever forsake us. Thank you, Father, for your word and for this amazing promise that you are with us, beside us, and that you hold us in your arms. Thank you, Father, for your continued presence in our lives. As we depart, Lord, from this time of worship, we know that you go with us throughout our week, beside us, to guide us. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us and that you bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 461 in your hymnal, "He Leadeth Me." If you have come to the place in your spiritual life where you would like to make a decision for Jesus, we invite you to come forward. If you would like to become a member of Mount Washington Baptist Church, we invite you to come forward. And we will greet you here at the front, and we look forward to God's blessings upon you and all of us as we stand together and sing, "He Leadeth Me."